88 ABV mobile, monitoring State Line 1 from I-75 northbound in Bay County. 88 ABV, 88MS, Doug and Terrell, how are you doing today?
Good, good. I'm just around the Pin County area on 75 northbound. There's one lane cleared on the highway. How are things out in Caro?
A bit of snow there, and I was going to ask how the travel was on I-75. You're coming in loud and clear this morning.
Yeah, thanks. I'm on the mobile, pushing out the 40 or 45 watts it gives me, and I'm on the Pinconning Tower. In between the Bay County Tower, or the Bay City Tower and the Pinconning Tower, I've got pretty much good coverage all the way to West Branch. What tower are you getting into? The Cassidy one, or which tower?
I'm seeing the Mayville Tower. I guess one of these days I need to put in the Cassidy Tower.
Yeah, but hey, I guess if it's not broke, don't fix it. You're making Mayville really good. I like having the extra towers in just in case one goes down at some point, so I can switch to the other if needed for my base station at home anyways. But, yeah, well, what's your weekend? We're wrapping up the weekend. What's today look like for you?
Stove and working on the wood pile. How about you? Gabriel, I don't know if you got my last transmission or not. I'll turn it back to you.
Yeah, sorry, nothing came through on that last transmission, but I did hear you just now. What were you saying? What was your weekend like? What you doing today?
Well, this morning I'm running a bit of FT8 here on 40 meters and running the stove and going to work on some flare wood here maybe after breakfast.
Okay, yeah, good day to play radio, I guess. Hold on just one moment. I got someone trying to slip between me and another truck on the highway. They're impatient. Give me just one moment. I'll put the mic down. KEA-TVB.
8MS. Stand by.
KEA-TVB on Skateboard 1. Yeah, there's an Impala all banged up behind me. Riding my tail with the snow kicking on him with the tinted out windows. He's lucky he hasn't ended up in the ditch yet with the way he's going on the fast lane. Man, oh man, some people don't care in the snow, but yeah, I got the wood burner going, huh? How much wood do you go through a year?
Great question. My best guess is maybe two full cores, maybe.
Okay, I split about two to three cores this summer for the first time in a long time, but it was all pine, so it's not going to get burned inside or anything like that. It's just for bonfires. I had a tree line in my backyard that I cut down and was able to borrow my neighbor's splitter for a week or two and get it all cut and stacked. But what kind of wood do you typically burn, and where do you source it from?
Gabriel, I think you said pine. Which pine are you using? To answer your question, mostly ash, and I'm getting sourcing that from a guy in Ubley. And he's delivering two full cores at a time. And then I'm supplementing here locally with more ash and cherry. And I actually like burning the cherry for the coals. And it just, smells better.
Okay, yeah. No, not Klein. I was talking about pine, Papa India, November Echo. I had a mix of red pine and white pine and a couple other conifers I couldn't name in the backyard. And I took quite a bit of them out this year, and I'm going to burn all the brush in the spring and make a garden. But, yeah, we've got some land up north, and we had it walk when all that ash borers came through and they killed all the ash trees. And we got an absolute ton of wood out of that. Sold most of it, but there's still dead ash trees all over the state. It's kind of crazy.
Caught up in that ice storm up north?
Thank goodness, no. We're in hail, so smack between West Branch and Tawas. And that, that storm was just a little further north of us. Some of our friends, though, they didn't fare so well. And, yeah, their forage got absolutely wrecked by the ice storms. And sounds like the DNR said that a lot of the snowmobile trails still are covered in tops of trees up there. So that was pretty gnarly.
pictures of all that damage up there. It was pretty catastrophic. And yeah, I've been reading the same things. They've had a lot of trails, you know, nature trails and snowmobile trails that are still closed up there. But I would think that there'd be guys up there with, you know, chainsaws doing their thing. So maybe they'll get to it this winter. Anyway, I guess we'll find out. And DNR's probably got some rules against that, right?
Yeah, no kidding. The DNR had to put out a Facebook post telling people to stop clearing trails on public land until they could come up with a liability waiver form. So you could go on the DNR website, print out the liability waiver form, and send it into the DNR. That way, if you hurt yourself with your own chainsaw clearing a DNR trail, you couldn't sue them. It was government efficiency at its finest. But, yeah, you know, that storm caught a lot of people up north off guard, which was surprising. I thought people would be a little more prepared. A lot of people up there without generators, without chainsaws, you know, and almost everyone up there, I get a lot of them are on wells, so not only did they lose, you know, electric power, but they lost their water too. So hopefully everyone kind of has taken some time and stocked up on a little bit of storm preparedness stuff.
Heard the same stories, and it was pretty ugly. I mean, they couldn't even get to the gas station, and it's just what a mess. And hopefully they've got a better plan going forward. That's getting stuck, especially in the winter here in Michigan. You just don't want to be overcome by weather issues, if you will.
Yeah. Winter shows no mercy, and you know, one or two days, that's one thing. But a lot of those people were without power for over a week. Some people were, I think, maybe 2 or 3 weeks in the really, you know, the dead end roads that didn't get power restored very quickly. So, yeah, hopefully they don't go through that again and they've all learned. But, you know, I don't think very many people died, if any. I think they said maybe one or two might have been found after a while, and that's terrible. But it could have been a lot worse, and thankfully it wasn't.
It's my understanding that a lot of the radio operators up there fared much better than a lot of the locals, and rightly so. Most of those guys up there have got generators, and they kind of got their ducks in a row a bit. But I've heard people up there were without power for over a month easy.
Yeah, it was interesting. Right after the storms kind of had all gone through and everyone was kind of getting back on their feet, all the nets talking about preparedness and what went wrong and stuff. You know, it was interesting. I don't know how their cell service did, because I think some of the cell towers went down, and I know they had backup power at some of the cell towers with their diesel generators, but that only lasts so long. So I don't know if there was ever any ham radio involvement. It seems rather limited what ham radio can do, I hate to say it, but unless you've got, you know, ham radio operators going door to door on snowmobiles, checking on people and reporting it back. It's kind of just hams checking on hams. It's a tight-knit community. I guess it's a good one to be in.
I didn't hear much about the ham community being involved with the ice storm up there, but I'm sure that there was lots of back and forth talk. And it sure is a handy tool to have in case of emergency and just everyday usage.
Yeah, I agree. And that storm was part of the reason that I actually got into the GMRS stuff a little bit. I don't talk on GMRS like I do on ham radio. The conversations are a little bit more CB-like, which is fine. It's just not what I'm into, but I got the GMRS stuff, and then I bought a spare base station power supply and a mobile antenna with a tripod, but then I also just bought enough GMRS handhelds that I could give them out to my family if needed. And I've been at their house and made sure I could take my base station from where they were at. That way, if ever, you know, an ice storm or even just some other odd incident comes through, that I can communicate with my family on GMRS, and then I can still relay stuff to their ham if needed. But yeah, just part of the tools, I guess, in the toolbox. But yeah, did Carol get much snow today? It's really just a dusting up here. I'm coming up on Sterling Road on 75, and it's still just a dusting everywhere.
To answer your question about snowfall here, it's still pretty light. They're forecasted about an inch, but funny you should mention GMRS. GMRS was the gateway for me into ham radio, and a lot of guys are into it here. And I don't know if you're able to hit the Mayville GMRS repeater or not, but it works real well. There used to be two, and then the other one went and did something else, and that sure made it easy. And they've changed the linking of the repeaters, the GMRS repeaters. FCC came out and said, "Hey, no, you guys can't do this." And so it was just going gangbusters there for a while with all the linking going on between GMRS repeaters. And I got a question the other day about, matter of fact, I'm going to go over Tuesday to one of my buddies' houses, and I'm going to program up some radios for him for GMRS and get him online to get his GMRS license. So, but yeah, there's quite a few guys, you know, in the Carroll area that run GMRS, 88MS.
88PDB. Yeah, no, that's good. And yeah, I was listening in on some of the link stuff for a while, and I like the thought of the link repeaters, but some people, I don't want to say they abused it too much. Maybe some did, but some people kind of camped out all day, and it was almost like their personal soundboard, and that got a little old for me. And then, yeah, I think I have gotten into that Mayville repeater. I spend a good amount of time at Fish Point, and I'm pretty sure I can really get into it from there when I'm in my truck. I just haven't called out on it in quite some time. I'll have to... In fact, I can barely remember my GMRS call sign of how long it is. I think it's Whiskey. You know what? I can't even remember. I'll have to write it down on the back of my microphone here. But it's a good gateway. Like you said, you used it as a gateway to ham radio. I don't know why I started with ham, but then when they dropped the license to $35, I'm like, oh, well, I can't pass that off, and I just bought the license.
Well, it's... I did the same thing, and the upside of it is the license covers, I mean, like, virtually everybody in your family, up to grandpa and grandma, and I've had mine for about 2 years, and I don't get out there anymore. I was getting questions here locally here over the last couple of days, and I said, well, gosh, I haven't been out there in a long time, so I went out with a handheld and called into the Mayville repeater and was talking to a guy in Saginaw, and he says, well, the Saginaw repeater's down, so I'm using the Mayville repeater. But, yeah, it's a handy tool to have. And there's, I guess I'd read someplace that the most widely sold radios in the world were those darn Baofeng UV5Rs, and so I got a couple here. That was kind of another little stepping stone for me to get into ham radio, because I'm like, I got them here, I got them programmed up for GMRS and ham bands, and what do I do now? What do I do with these things? Well, you go crack the books and you go get her done.
Exactly. My friend.
So when we have new people come into the club meetings in the during the month here in town, or if I'm meeting somebody in the address, I'll point them to that first, because the very first stepping stone is, you know, get your FRN and then go pay your cash and then get on the radio and start using the repeater, and one thing leads to another, and it's it's also a recruitment tool. So and a lot of people poo-poo the ball things, but the ones I got have been rock solid. I'm just curious, when you're at deer camp, are you running onboard antenna for your HT, or you've got an external antenna?
Well, I really agree with how you went about, you know, the GMRS as a recruitment tool. A long time ago, the local ham club, me and one of my cousins, who are both ham operators, we said maybe this club goes from an amateur radio club to just a radio club, so that way it can include GMRS, because you might be able to grow your membership and get more guys on the ham side. And it was shot down. They had their reasons. But I think it's a good recruitment tool. And when I'm at deer camp, when I'm using my HT, I've got a Motorola. I've got a couple Motorola XPR 7550s. And leave it to Motorola to use a non-standard antenna connector. So I'm stuck with using a stock antenna. However, with my base station set up as a dual band repeater up there, or a cross band repeater, it's more than sufficient with just the stock antenna, and I can reach all the other guys in my camp quite easily. I am thinking about eventually picking up an old repeater for GMRS and setting it to extremely low power and just having that cover our deer camp plus all the way into town maybe. But I'll probably wait a while and let the repeaters keep coming down in price.
Yeah, a couple of observations on my part. When I first got into GMRS, I was all ready to go to put up a repeater. And matter of fact, one came up on the local auction site tonight that I was looking at that thing, and it was a Motorola, and it was in real good shape. And I decided not to go after it, not to chase it, because it started getting pricey. I thought I'd get it for a deal. But, I'd look pretty long and hard at doing that, just because at the time there wasn't any repeaters in Mayville. Nothing was up and running at the time. But, right now I'll just, that's the repeater for me is shelved, so I'll just use the assets that are available locally. And I'll turn it back to you, Gabriel. This is 88MS, Doug and Carol.
I think I heard you say you'll be clear, and I'm actually getting into a little bit of an interesting situation here on the highway with the snow, so I'm going to have to let my microphone go, if you said that or not, but this is KE8PVB. It was great talking to you about ice storms, wood heating, and GMRS stuff. Hope you have a good rest of your Sunday. KE8PVB, I'll be clear. 73.
PVB, 88MS. Well, thanks for the rag too, Gabriel. Hey, have a safe trip up there, and watch out for those nut jobs out on there in 95 in the back roads. People just got to learn how to drive again and during the winter. Okay, this is 88MS, and I'll be clear.
Are you H to KE8WUO? John, you out there?
KE8WUO to KE8RUH. Yes, sir. Sorry, my microphone cable was tied in a knot.
And that last transmission at, sorry, my microphone cable. Go ahead if you're able to. Right there, pulling up in the van.
Yes, sir, I am here.
Good. You want me to move over and you can pull in right here? Unless you see other spots?
I can stay right here, I guess. But, I'll just hop out right here. You're good.
KEAOX, take my one.
Testing, okay, wait, deal. Yeah, wait. Yeah, what? Testing.
Station calling, this is KE8LAX. You have a good test. I have a copy on you.
I'm sorry I didn't catch that. I had the volume down too low. Can't wait, Felix.
N8XPQ, listening on statewide one.
WGHKLO.
KE8FPW monitoring.